Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
And if you have your Bibles, please turn to Colossians chapter 1. If you don't, we're going to have it up here so you can read it with us. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read two verses today. And as you're finding that verse, the notes are up there, so you can scan the QR code or go on our website. You can get the notes and kind of follow along, fill in the blanks as you're listening to the sermon. I want to start off and ask you this question. I'm wondering how many of you in this room have actually experienced the sense of being in bondage or being addicted to something, and then you've experienced genuine freedom. Now, those of us who have yet to experience Jesus Christ and the gospel message, many of us might still be wrestling through some of these issues of sin. There are some of us who are already believers, but we're still trying to wrestle through with some of these sins in our own lives. But if you in this room have genuinely experienced a sense of freedom that comes through the gospel and the forgiveness of sins, whatever it is that you are addicted to or the things that have put you in bondage, you know that feeling. That feeling that it's hard to describe at times. You could just explain it as a joy, explain it as the sense of going out in an open space, or if you're by the ocean and you just look at the vastness of how great this ocean is, you have this feeling of sense of awe and gratitude. Now, there might be some of us in this room, as we think about experiencing freedom from the things of our lives, it might be a past trauma. As you know, there are many people who are traumatized by different experiences in their lives, coming all the way from maybe being bullied to maybe experiencing sexual molestation or rape. Or some of us have experienced something that is even brutal than those things. And that feeling creates the sense of anger and bitterness in our hearts. And I'm wondering if some of us have experienced freedom from some of those feelings. It might be some kind of addiction. A lot of times when you talk to people who are addicted to things, it could range anything from drugs to alcohol to pornography, sex, whatever it may be. Whenever you talk to people who have been addicted to anything, a lot of times it's a way to medicate themselves from the pain in their hearts. And if you've experienced freedom from any kind of addiction, you know that feeling. It might be a self-centered life where you used to live only for yourself. You only thought about yourself. But now, because of the gospel message and the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ, that now you're able to live for others. As you saw in the video of CityServe, the joy that you experience when you're able to not think about yourself, but to look outside of yourself to those people who are in need. For some of us in this room, it might be freedom from anxiety or depression. And as you know, this is a generation that struggles with this so much, it almost paralyzes us, and our minds go into all these different directions. It might be from a codependent relationship that was not healthy, that was not honoring to God. And when you've experienced that freedom, it really gives you a sense and an ability not only of joy, but to love other people in a way that Christ called us to love. And I think for many of us, it does take some time to experience the sense of joy as we come out of bondage. I think for some of us, there's a sense of hesitancy because when you think about coming out of these things in your life, you're not sure. You're not sure if you're going to go back to it. You're not sure how people will receive you. We've all been there as we struggle with various things in our lives. But the beautiful thing is that that hesitancy turns into joy and happiness and a love for people and a love for God. It seems like this feeling that I'm describing, if you experience genuine freedom from addictions or bondages or whatever it may be, that it's a universal thing. It doesn't matter what culture, what language, where you're from, where you were born. It doesn't matter about socioeconomic background. It is a universal thing, so much so that even animals are able to experience it. I want to show you this quick video, and some of you might have heard of some of these projects that they do where they try to rescue animals from these places where they use them for experiments. Some of them were abused. And so they had a group of chimpanzees that they used for 30 years for an experiment. So try to imagine this with me. For 30 years, these chimpanzees were conditioned and they were in captivity because of the experiments that they were doing on them. And you got to try to imagine with me as you watch this video, what kind of feeling, once again, these are animals now, what kind of feeling that they must have felt as they were able to then be placed into the sanctuary. There is a wildlife sanctuary where many animals who have been abused or used for experiments, they will go to this place. And it's hundreds and several hundreds of acres of land where it's a beautiful place for these animals towards the end of their life to be able to experience true freedom. So let's watch this together and see the reaction. If you haven't noticed, they were smiling. They were just opening their mouth. If you saw that video carefully, you noticed in the beginning they weren't sure. There was a sense of hesitancy. But then as some of them slowly had the courage to come out, they started telling other people, come on out, in chimpanzee language, come on out. And as they came out, you saw the joy as they experienced this freedom, no longer in captivity. If you don't know what true freedom feels like, one thing that I will tell you is this, you know what it looks like, especially when you've experienced it firsthand. You know what it looks like when you see it in other people. People that you have known from the past. And for whatever reason, they're different. Something's different about them. It's because they have experienced a freedom that only Jesus Christ can give. That's why today, starting today on this Easter Sunday, we're starting a whole new series. It's a three-part series called Redeemed. Today, I want to talk about redeemed for freedom. Next week, we're going to talk about redeemed for purpose, that God has a purpose for us, that we're not just randomly created and randomly placed in this earth. There's a purpose that God specifically has for us. And last week, the third week, we're going to talk about redeemed for worship, that we were created to worship Him. Not all these other things in this world, but to worship Him. So as we start, I want to talk about what does the word redeem, what does that word mean, especially in a biblical sense from the scriptures. I want to read to you the New Bible Dictionary definition of redeemed or redemption. It says this, deliverance from some evil by payment of a price. It is more than simple deliverance. Thus, prisoners of war might be released on payment of a price, which was called a ransom. It conveys this idea of release on payment of ransom. So it is very important for you to understand from Scripture that for a person to receive or to experience redemption, there needs to be a payment. And payment to what and to whom? There is a ransom. That means that in order for you to have something back, there has to be a payment that must be paid. That's where this concept of redemption comes from. And you'll see this all throughout Scripture. The Tyndale Bible Dictionary defines it this way. It derived from a Latin root meaning to buy back, thus meaning the liberation of any possession, object, or person, usually by payment of a ransom. So once again, this idea of payment and a ransom. In Greek, the word means to loose. So to set free. So think about that. When we talk about redemption, it is loosening and letting go of. And so that's why this idea of being set free comes in when we talk about redemption and to redeem. The term is used of freeing the from chains, slavery, or prison. Anything that puts you in bondage, the Bible is going to teach us and remind us that if you experience true redemption and you are redeemed, then you are no longer in that prison, no longer in bondage. And so this morning, as we look into this idea of redemption, it's important to see that it's the purchasing back of something that has been lost by the payment of a ransom. And we believe that this happens because of Jesus' death and his resurrection, which we celebrate Easter. And he calls us and he wants us to be free. So let me give us the one thing, and usually I give the one thing so that you remember the main theme and the thrust of the message. I usually give points to help support the main thing. The thing that I want you to remember is simply this, that we can experience liberation because of Jesus' resurrection, that you and I can experience liberation or freedom because of Jesus' resurrection, because he died and rose again from the dead. There are two things I'm going to highlight for us that we have to remember about how Jesus' resurrection truly gives us this sense of liberation or freedom in our lives. So let me go ahead and first make the first point here. That the first point we see from this passage, we're going to look at two verses, and each verse I'm going to highlight for us. The first thing is this, that we are rescued from darkness. That we are rescued from darkness. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the believers in Colossae because it's from the book of Colossians. But I want you to understand a little bit of the context so that when we read Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it will make sense. As he's writing to the believers in Colossae, it's important to understand that Paul did not start this church, nor did Paul visit this church. So the question is this, why did he write a letter to the Colossians if he didn't start it, nor did he visit it? Because some of his colleagues that he worked with, who were fellow partners in the gospel, they went and they preached the gospel to the small town, and there were believers who trusted in Jesus Christ, who came to know Jesus in a personal way. Now the problem is this, that in the city of Colossae, it was a pagan city in near the area of Asia Minor. This is where Ephesus is. And those of you who might not know the Bible geography or geography in general, Ephesus is what we call the modern day Turkey. So it's right near the Middle Eastern area. It literally crossed the west and the east. And so Colossae was a small city or mid-sized city that was near Ephesus as well as in this whole region called Asia Minor. Now, the reason why this is important is because it is in this area there were a lot of Jewish people. Because if you look into the book of Acts, you will notice that there was a persecution that happened in Jerusalem. Many of the believing Jews were all scattered all throughout the earth. Some of them went as far as Asia Minor, and some of them landed here in Colossae. So in the midst of a pagan city, because there were many Gentiles or those who are non-Jews, they filled up this area, and the Jewish people came, and they with them came their faith. And this is why not only the Jews in this area, but many of the Gentiles, the non-Jews, came to know Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. Now, here's the thing that you have to understand before we read this verse, is that because the church was mostly made up of Gentile believers, the non-Jews, many of them had backgrounds from the pagan ritualistic world. So that means that they were worshiping all these other gods. They were pretty much pre-Christians. They didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't grow up in the synagogues. They didn't grow up in the Jewish traditions. So many of them still had struggles with their old life. They were in bondage to a lot of different things in their lives that they thought was normal, but after they became a Christian, they realized how hard it is to live this life in obedience to God. So that's why in this moment when he wrote this letter, Paul wrote this letter, even though he didn't start it, nor did he visit it, he wrote it because there were many believers in this church that were tempted to go back to their old way of life. So the very thing that God delivered them from, they were tempted to go back to that way of life because living for Christ was not easy. So with that in mind, you'll see that there are many false teachers who are distorting the truth of God. And because of that, Paul wanted to remind the believers about the supremacy of Christ, that there is no one else greater than Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ that we worship. And it's Jesus Christ that we give our lives to. And so with that, a little bit of history here and the context, now let's read verse 13 and 14. I'm going to read verse 13 first to make this point about how we are rescued from darkness. It says this in verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Let me read it again. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, what we notice here is that word delivered. That word delivered means to draw to oneself or to rescue. So try to imagine someone is swimming and they're drowning, and here you are, you're throwing out that line and you're pulling them, you're drawing them to yourself. You are rescuing them. That is the idea that Paul uses in this word when he says he delivered us. Jesus Christ rescued us or pulled himself towards himself. Why? Pulled us or that person towards himself. Now the word that next word you see is from. Now this is a very important word. It might not seem like it, but it's an important word as we study this. The word from means that it is out of the power, which means that as we are in whatever situation we're in, we cannot deliver ourselves. This is very important. And this is the problem with many of us in this room. There are addictions. There are different things, past traumas, things that you are in bondage to, and many of us are trying to rescue ourselves. Many of us are trying to pull ourselves out. And in my work, if you have a lot of discipline and willpower, but it will not last long. I talk to so many people and all the hours of counseling, especially those who are addicted to different things. And oftentimes, you could tell they just feel guilty and they try so hard on their own to overcome. Some of them are good for about a week or 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, they go back to it and there's this overwhelming sense of guilt that is compounded where they feel like at a point where they can't do this anymore and they're tempted to just give up on Christianity and on Jesus and just live the life that they want to live. You'll see this all the time because they're trying to deliver themselves from that particular issue. And you will fail. And it has been proven over and over. You might be 1 week longer than the person sitting next to you, but we will not be able to deliver ourselves from our own sins. And that's why it means out of the power that he delivered us from. Which is, we cannot do it ourselves, but he delivered us out of this power of sin and now to himself. This is why when you think about that word from, it talks about a sphere of the power that is exercised that only someone else can deliver us from that thing. He says he delivered us from the power of what? From the domain of darkness. The phrase, the domain of darkness, has this idea of disorder or power or authority of darkness. Now, listen to me carefully. God is never a God of confusion. Whenever you're confused, whenever there's disorder in your life, then all I can say to you is there's probably some kind of spiritual warfare and influence with the evil one. He loves to confuse. God does not. He's very clear. So whenever you see disorder in your life, what we see is here as we look at this passage, it's not from God, but it is from the domain of darkness. Now, some of you are probably thinking, no wonder my room is so messy. I'm going to go home and pray over that room and make sure everything's clean. Which, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but a disordered home or disordered desk sometimes shows us that our minds are in disarray. So that's just something a little extra. It's not in my notes, so I just wanted to share that. So clean up your room. Your mom and your dad were correct. Clean your room. So that's why this idea of domain of darkness is associated, because it's disorder and it's about authority of darkness. It is associated with the rule of Satan and all his demonic influence, which means that those who do not know Jesus Christ, that they are being ruled by these things, the darkness. Now, if you look at verse 12, this is important. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance, say this yellow part with me, of the saints in light. This is important because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in the light. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you are still in darkness. Now, that's the bad news. But the good news is this. You cannot deliver yourself from this dominion or this domain of darkness. Someone else has to pull you out of this darkness. And that person, as I will argue today, it is found in Jesus Christ. The contrast of light and darkness is important because it is in reference to good and evil. You'll see this all the time as the imagery in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says this, and read the yellow section with me. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen what? A great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has what? Light shone. So this idea of darkness in this earth, a deep darkness, is ruled by the things of Satan and our own selfish desires. And he says that there are people who have seen the light. There are people of the light. They're saints of the light, because only Christ can deliver us from darkness into his light. This is why before you came to know Jesus, you and I were in darkness. I know that might sound very offensive to you, especially if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, but let me be clear. This is what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Read the yellow section, but listen to this very carefully. It says this, once you were dead because of your disobedience and for your many sins. So once again, we are living in sin, and we are in bondage to sin, and we are living in darkness. We cannot rescue ourselves. And then in verse 2, it says, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. So he controls this darkness area. The commander of what? Say this with me. Powers in the unseen world. That's why it's not like you have this dark umbrella over you, like, ah, I'm from, you know, the dark side. You know, Luke, I'm your father. You know, he's not doing that. It's an unseen world. So when you think about this world and how there's so many things that it's wrong, it's not the way it's supposed to be. We're not created. That wasn't God's intent. But because of sin, it now causes us to hate one another, to hate people who are different from us. It causes us to be filled with jealousy and envy. It causes us to protect ourselves and to live for ourselves. That is the fallen nature of humankind, because we have sinned before a holy God. And the powers of this unseen world is using everything around us. Now, is there anything wrong with social media? Can I get an amen or no man? There's nothing wrong with social media. There's nothing wrong with Netflix. In many ways, they're kind of neutral things, but listen, Satan can use that in the unseen world to do different things into your heart and in your mind. Is there anything wrong with being successful? making a lot of money, doing well in the things that God had created you to do? Of course not. But in the unseen world, he will tell you that if you don't make money, if you don't have this, then you're a nobody. So then we begin to believe in this lie. I got to have this. I got to have this kind of car. I got to have this kind of apartment. There's nothing wrong with having it, but you somehow believe that that's how you're going to find a sense of worth and significance in your life, in this unseen world. So you don't see it because it is spiritual in nature. He goes, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So those who do not obey God, that unseen world, that demonic spirit, Satan is working. He is in the world of darkness. Once again, we see this concept in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Let me read it for us. Read the yellow section with me. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Right now, what we're living in this present darkness, the evil forces are governing and trying to rule over our hearts. Against what? The spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, I don't know about you, but just reading these verses and being reminded, like, not only do you know what that feels like to be in darkness, confusion, disorder, but you know that feeling when you cannot get out of it because you are bound by some of these things, your thoughts, your feelings. But this is the beautiful thing about the gospel. Jesus has not only delivered us, rescued us from this darkness, but what you will see is that he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. The word transferred means being removed from one place to another. Those of you who are students here, you have been transferred from your hometown to Hong Kong. That's the concept. You're going from one place to another. Think about those of you who are working. When you get transferred to another department, you are then taking what you were at in that particular department. Now in the same company, you are being transferred to another department. So that's why this word transfer means it is taking somebody from one place to another. So what does he say? He has transferred us as we were in the kingdom of darkness, this world of darkness. Jesus Christ delivered us and he transferred us. He pulled us out from this place to now to a new place. And that is through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, for at one time, what does it say? You were darkness. Now he's saying you are not only in darkness, but you are darkness. You're being controlled by the evil one. But now, come on, say this with me. You are light in the world. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. That's why walk as children of light. He has delivered us or rescued us. He has transferred us from here to now to the other side. And this has only could be done, this can only be done because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might be sitting there and say, well, how does that all happen? Well, it's very simple. Because when Jesus died, what he did was he took upon the sins of the world upon his life. This is important. So that even though you might have heard it before, this is why we're able to no longer be in darkness but in light. Sin has a way of putting you in bondage and putting you in darkness. That's why when he died on the cross, all the weight of the sin of the world was upon him. And God, when he looked upon his Son, he poured out his wrath, his judgment. That's what happened when Jesus died on the cross. And then on the third day, when he rose again from the dead, he literally broke the power of death and evil. That's why Paul in the scripture says, oh, death, where is your sting? Because what he's saying was that that was the last weapon that Satan had to kill people. But because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead and has given us new life in him, that means that if you trust in him and you were to die tonight, that you will spend the rest of eternity with God and you will live forever. This is a mystery that we cannot fully understand, but we take it by faith. That we were part of darkness, Jesus rescued us and he transferred us now into the light. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of" what? "Darkness into his marvelous light." Only Jesus can take us from darkness into his marvelous light. Can I just say this? There is no middle ground. Well, can I be gray for a little bit? No. It's either you're in darkness or you are in the light. We are either giving our allegiance to Satan and all the evil forces, or we're giving our allegiance to God. The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of Jesus. You have to choose. You know, I remember when I was growing up as a young believer, I heard the gospel for the first time when I was about 13 years old. Never went to church. Our family was probably Buddhist in background, ancestral worship at best. I had no clue about this Jesus. But when I heard the gospel for the first time, it was very powerful because the part that really spoke to me was God, in his wrath, placed it upon his son, Jesus Christ, so that now, when he died and rose again from the dead, we don't have to pay the penalty of sin, but we have been set free. That literally impacted when I heard the gospel for the first time, knowing all the things that I went through in my life, it touched my heart in a way that I cannot explain. There's no human means or method. God used the preacher, but it was his Holy Spirit that spoke to my heart. Now here's the thing. Even though in the spiritual realm there was a transaction where no longer was I in darkness spiritually, but now I am in the light. As many of us in this room can testify, that trying to live for the things of the kingdom of God rather than kingdom of darkness, you know how hard it is. And so what I began to do is that in my high school years, the hardest part for me was trying to live for Jesus Christ, and I just couldn't do it. I mean, there were many reasons. I wasn't getting discipled. I just went to church, thought that that's the thing that we're supposed to do. I mean, I didn't read my Bible. I didn't spend time in prayer. There are a lot of things that I wish I knew, but because I knew there was something that was different that happened in my life in this unseen world, but in the seen world, I was still struggling with some of the things from the past. And so when we talk about this rescuing from darkness, on a spiritual level, if you believe in Jesus, yes. But we can still struggle with the things of darkness unless there's repentance and obedience to God. And God, that's when God told me, you cannot be lukewarm. You either got to be part of the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. How about us this morning? Where are you putting your allegiance? There is no middle ground. You are either part of the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of the light. Do you know that Jesus rescued you, or at least he's provided a way for you to come out of darkness into his marvelous light? Let me close my second point. The last point is this. Not only are we rescued from darkness, I want you to see here that we are redeemed from destruction. That we are redeemed from destruction. I think what many of us in this room, what we forget is all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And the reason why is because of our disobedience. We will never be perfect enough to earn our salvation. We constantly fall short. Now, some of you might be sitting there, well, I didn't kill anybody. You know, I didn't commit a big sin. I try to love all people. I try to do good. I even did city serve. But as I always use as an illustration, that will be all of us lining up on the harbor at TST. So we're all lined up, all of us. And then on the count of three, I'm going to say one, two, three, and then I'm going to say jump. Get to the other side. Get to Wan Chai as you're in TST. Now, some of you are like, I could do it. You know you can't do it. Not only is that your overconfidence, but it's just lunacy. You cannot make it. But some of you try. So on the count of three, maybe we should do this one of these days, right? Just to make the illustration hit home harder. On the count of three, let's see who could go to Wan Chai. Bottom line is every single one of us in this room will fail. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, good. I just want to make sure some of us still are not thinking I can make it. But here's the thing. Some of you will do 1 meter. Some of you might even possibly do 2 meters. Some of you can't even measure in meters, so you're like maybe a foot or 6 inches, or I don't know, you could just, The point is this, no matter how hard you try, the gap is so big. God's holiness is so great that all your good works, no matter how good it may be, it will always fall short. That's why even in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is what? It is death. All your working of doing things is going to lead to death. But it says, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want to read to you the Message translation. It says this, work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our master. So think about that. Your whole life you are working. And you are working for what? It's going to lead to death. But this idea of pension, your retirement plan, is only given to us by Jesus Christ. So this idea that every single one of us, because of the wages of sin, the things that we earn is what? Because of our sin, we deserve death. And this is why Jesus comes into the picture, because he lived the life that you and I could not live. So he's standing with us at TST at the harbor. And what he does is he creates a bridge for us to walk over to Wan Chai. No one else can do it. Why? Because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice that died on the cross for you and I so that we can have abundant life. So that the wrath that God wants to pour out upon those who are sinners is no longer poured upon us. But when God sees us, he sees Jesus. Because it's Christ in us. So all our sins, even the ones that we are committing even right now, and even the ones that we will commit in the future, because of Jesus, when he says it is done, when he said that on the cross, he says all the things that you try to earn salvation, it is already done. That's why it is the free gift. Gift of God that is given to you, and all you have to do is to receive. That's why I think, the more I think about this, I realize when you really understand the gospel message, it is a beautiful picture of redemption. Let me close with this verse 14. Listen to what it says. It says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So once again, that word redemption is translated as what? Releasing effected by payment of a ransom, liberation procured by the payment of this ransom. So here you are, stuck in bondage. You're ready to go to hell. But here is Jesus who came and through his life paid the ransom so that we can be rescued out of darkness and now redeemed from the destruction that was going to lead us to hell. And this concept of redemption is used a lot in the Bible. It's being redeemed from a life of sin and in bondage, and it only comes through forgiveness. When we experience redemption, it means that we have received forgiveness. The idea of forgiveness means to send away or to cancel a debt. That's why those of you who know your Bible, what they will do often is they will bring a lamb or a goat and they will lay their hands on this animal and confess all their sins, and then they will send it away into the wilderness. That's where this concept of atonement comes from. This is the concept of forgiveness, that all the sins are placed on this animal and then sent away so the Jewish people can be forgiven of their sins. But Jesus Christ became the perfect Lamb of God, where the sins were placed on him, and then he was what? Released in a way, and as he died on the cross, and then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And this forgiveness can only happen through the blood of Christ. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. In him we have redemption. Come on, say this yellow part with me. Through his blood, the what? Forgiveness of sin. So through his blood is how we get the forgiveness of sin. In accordance with what? Riches, God's grace. It's nothing that we have done. It is purely by his grace. We cannot earn it. We don't deserve it. That he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. We were slaves to sin and in bondage, and the only way we could be released and set free is by the payment of a ransom, which Jesus paid by his blood. Now, can I just make one caveat here? This is important. Jesus did not pay the ransom to Satan. Satan's like, all right, well, I'll let him go. Give me the money. Jesus did not pay the ransom to Satan. And this is important for us to understand. The ransom that is paid, when you look at this, is that by his death and his resurrection, Jesus met the holy demands of God's holy laws. So the payment is given in many ways. What he did was the payment of God's holy laws, that judgment was going to be come upon us, but he paid for it. And when you think about this, you realize you cannot live the same way you used to live before. We don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. We don't have to be living in darkness anymore because of what Jesus has done. Those of us who were here on Friday, you'll remember this is what we did. We posted up all our sins on the cross. And many of you are believers, and here you are still posting things on the cross of sins that you're wrestling with, you're struggling with. On the spiritual level, you are not in darkness anymore, but now you are part of the light who continues to struggle with sin. And so not only do we need to be rescued from darkness, that's why we need to repent and continue in our relationship with Jesus, but we also have to understand that Jesus Christ redeems us, and he has redeemed us, and he will continue to redeem us. He will continue to do things in our lives. For instance, if some of you have been traumatized and gone through things, that is not God's plan. That is the work of Satan, and a people in their own sin chose to hurt you. So what he does is that he takes whatever trauma you went through, and by him dying on the cross, resurrecting from the dead, what he is doing is he is purchasing that wound or whatever it is. He placed it upon himself so that now we can be set free. And even that trauma, not only can it be healed, but it could be a testimony of what God can do in your life. Can I get a good amen to that? That is what it means to be redeemed. Or it's a story that talks about God's redemption. What was lost now has been purchased back for God's intent. So all the things and all the hurts that you've gone through in your life, God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has redeemed us. He purchased us back. He purchased us that innocence. He purchased us that whatever it is that God intended for you, so that now you can live in freedom. So in fact, it would be, if I could demonstrate it for us, here are all the sins in our lives, and what Jesus has done is that He literally, come on now, can I get an amen to this? Come on. He has literally taken away all our sins. That's what He has done. We nail it to the cross, and by His wounds we are healed, and all these things are taken away. That's the beautiful thing about redemption. Why? Because even the things that you made mistakes on, He can use it for something greater. That's why I want to encourage you this morning, if you've ever done something or gone through something that you feel like there's no way that I could be healed of, or there's no way that people will love me, there's no way that God can forgive me of this, I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what it is you have done in your life, that God, He is purchasing you back. You were the person who was lost, but now He found you and He purchased you through His blood so that you could be made right with God. And through your life now, this is why the redemption story is so beautiful. Through your life now, God can use you to help other people. Those of you who come from broken homes or your parents are divorced, if God... you allow Him to heal you of some of the pain that you've experienced through the fighting of your parents all the time. And now, because in your insecurity, because you had no stable home, if you now trust in God the Father, and you allow Him to redeem that part of your life that He is going to purchase back, because that's not what God intended. Your parents might not have been a Christian, or if they were a Christian, because of various things that happened, it broke that, and now here you are as a product of brokenness. If you allow God to redeem you, heal you, listen to this, then what happens is that scar in your life, it doesn't hurt you anymore, but it's a scar to remind you of sin in this world, and that scar becomes a testimony. I was going to ask you how many of you have tattoos, but don't raise your hand. I don't want to even know, okay? I don't want to know. I don't know what part of your body. I don't want to know any of that. Listen to me carefully. If you have a tattoo, a lot of times people will be like, oh, you have a tattoo. Why did you get that tattoo? What does that mean? Let's just say you're a butterfly, you know, a tattoo on your finger, you know. And people are like, oh, why do you have a butterfly tattoo? Well, my life has been metamorphosized into a butterfly. They go, cool. That's why one of the most powerful things about the gospel is that whatever scar, mistakes, as God heals you, it becomes a witness to the power of God. Can I get a good amen to that? That's if you will allow Him. As you receive this gospel message, the forgiveness that Christ offers, because He rescued you from darkness. And then from the darkness, now He has redeemed you from destruction that you were going to head towards, but He has redeemed you. He has purchased you back because He paid the price of the ransom, which was His life, and through His blood, and that's why we have forgiveness. And forgiveness, once you've experienced it, it becomes your fuel for obedience. Once you've experienced the forgiveness of God, it will become the fuel for obedience to God. So you don't try on your own strength to try to obey God and make yourself right, rescue yourself, redeem yourself. You can't. When you just receive this free gift of God and realize that He has forgiven you, He has redeemed you, He has purchased you back. You were the one who was lost. He found you. He purchased you back by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, and then rose again from the dead. If you believe and trust in that, that's when you're going to be able to experience this true freedom. And once you trust in this truth and experience this true freedom, I'm telling you right now, it becomes such a fire in your heart to love God and to love people. It will fuel your obedience. It will just flow. It will fuel your service to God, wanting to love people, if you understand his forgiveness, which comes through the redemption from his blood. How about us this morning? I'm just wondering how many of us have truly experienced the forgiveness of God. How many of us have really experienced this redemption? No matter what you're going through right now, the redemption is available for you if you will humble yourself and turn your life over to Jesus Christ. What's motivating your love or your obedience to God? Is it your own strength or trying to earn something from God? Or is it a natural response because you have received forgiveness and redemption from him? That's why this really is simply the gospel. Because every single one of us, at one point in our lives, we were here, or we are here right now, in the dominion or the domain of darkness. And somewhere as you look out, you see this light. And there's something about this light that is drawing you, because it's a beautiful light. And that light, when you begin to look, you realize that's Jesus, because Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And that light that you see, and the light that you want to go towards, and you're drawn, strangely drawn to it, that is who Jesus Christ is. He came and lived a perfect life so that you don't have to. Because he has found you in your lostness. He redeemed you by paying the ransom. And he did it through his blood, which is life. He paid the ransom with his life. And through that, now you're able to experience the freedom that Jesus offers you as you walk towards the light. That's why we can experience liberation because of Jesus' resurrection. That is the only way, because he died and rose again from the dead. I want to show you this quick video. It's a series of brief clips of testimonies of people who were addicted to various things. And as they trusted in Jesus Christ, they were set free. There are three people in this video that shares about their freedom. One of them is Brian Hurd Welch. I don't know if some of you know him. He's from the band Korn. That he shares of his life of addiction to drugs, and God set him free. Another small clip is from Ryan Rice. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a former skater and a snowboarder. And then lastly, from Jordan Rogers, who is a former American football player, and now he's a TV sports commentator. So these are all people with public platforms who share their story of genuine freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. So I want us to watch this, and then we're going to respond in a time of reflection. So let's watch this together. As you can tell in their short, brief testimony, that there was a moment where of desperation, where they realized that they needed Jesus. And that's what usually happens when you're in darkness. You're trying to feel things out, but you end up stubbing your toe, hurting yourself, because you can't see. You're blinded to the truth. But it's in that moment when you cry out in your messiness to God and believe what the word said, that when you give your allegiance to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of the light, you will begin to understand that not only did he rescue you and he's able to rescue you, but he has redeemed you. Some of you in this room, you've been running away from God. Some of you decided you're just going to throw everything out and just live your own life. Maybe for various reasons, you've been hurt. Maybe you tried this Christianity thing, or maybe you try to go to life group or go to church and you just feel like it's just not working. And still holding on to your own life. And you begin to wander. It's kind of like a boat with no anchor. You just start drifting. You get further and further away from the shore. And you go deeper into sea. And you're wandering around and there's waves coming in, storms coming in. And you feel like you're going to die in that moment. You're going to drown. And in that vastness of the sea, in the darkness of the night, from the corner of your eye, you see a light. It's coming from another boat. And you realize that Jesus was on an all-out search for you. Because you were lost. And what did he do? He paid the price, the ransom that put you in darkness, in your rebellion, in your sin, in your disobedience. That he showed you not only the price he had to pay, but how much he loves you. I don't care how tough you might think you are, but there's something about understanding God's love and the price that was paid for us that will melt any heart. Any walls that you've built up, it will be knocked down. Anything to fortify your heart so you'll never be hurt again, God will start melting your heart. Just like what you heard in the testimony, he will just pour out his love, the Father's love, upon your life. That's why it takes faith. And even faith, God has to give it to us. And you know when he's giving to you because he's stirring your heart. And this is the moment where there's this war that's going on in the spiritual realm. The kingdom of darkness is saying, don't do it. Don't obey. Don't go in that direction. Don't go towards the light. And then the other side is fighting for you, saying, yes, come towards the light. And if you would then just take a step of faith, trust in him, and to be able to say, I'm going to go towards the light, because something about the light is drawing me. And as you get closer to the light, you realize that it's not blinding you. It's actually comforting. And then you see the face of Jesus with his nail-pierced hands, his resurrected body, and you see the price that was paid for you and I so that we could have eternal life. That's a powerful thing. You will never be the same. In fact, your life will be flipped upside down. Now the things that you live for, it's going to be different. The direction you were going, it might be different. The trauma and the things that you're struggling with, God is going to work in ways that now it's going to be a redemption story to tell the whole world what God can do in the midst of your mess, in the midst of your brokenness. But it's going to require faith. It's going to require trust. It's going to require repentance. To say, God, forgive me. I live my life as a captain of my own boat. I surrender now. Allow you be the master and the driver of this boat. And I'm telling you right now, I made this commitment many, many years ago. And I will say I will never trade what I'm experiencing for the world. You will go to places you have never gone to. You will do things that you only would imagine. You will experience things in such a way that you're going to be like, this is so much better than any high, any drug, whatever experience. And if you don't believe me, there are many other people who can tell you. And if there's no one who tells you, just look at your life. How many of you have been on a vacation? It was fun, but when you came back, you need to go on another one. That's what you will do for the rest of your life. Always trying to find that next high, the next fun, the next thing to fill your heart. Only Jesus can satisfy your heart and your life with this gospel message.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.